Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Wow. I mean, are you over it yet? Anybody? That was one of the all-timers. The Bears. I mean, I don't know how you lose like that. I don't know how that happens to a professional football team after they battle back from absolutely just horrible performance. They finally come back. I thought Olin put it well in the postgame. He said, you got the special from Caleb Williams. And instead of talking about that, we're talking about the special that is Jaden Daniels.
Morning, Molly. Yeah, it's not a happy Monday. Not in Chicago, at least. The Washington walk-off, they're calling it. Hail Maryland, perhaps. 52-yard pass from Jaden Daniels to Noah Brown. And the Bears come home with one of the most unacceptable, inexcusable, inexplicable losses that they ever could have endured or created or manufactured themselves. This was a coaching loss. This is a loss that included a lot of fluky things.
Yeah.
Certainly that was the highlight of the NFL season, if you're talking about dramatics. But it was a situation the Bears never should have been in. It was a situation they put themselves in. And it was one they'll regret for a very long time.
Well, it's also one they're going to regret when, well, first of all, look at the division, right? We know how difficult that pathway is, and the Bears now unequivocally dead last in that division. But it's if you think you have aspirations for, number one, a winning season, number two, a playoff berth, I think you're gonna look back on that play. It wasn't a game. It was a play. And the final 2 seconds, which took forever because the quarterback supposedly ran 40 yards, scrambled for 40 yards, according to ESPN.
He had 13 seconds to throw.
It's the longest time for a completion at about, what, since they started keeping statistics?
Since the next-gen stats
yes.
was invented or started being utilized. It was one of those
wow.
plays. You're right. It will last a lifetime in your memory. It lasted 12.79 seconds while he had the ball, and it was the first TD pass with the time to throw over 10 seconds in the next-gen stats era. That goes back 8 years. Also, if you want more history, the 52-yarder was the second longest game-winning touchdown by a rookie as time expired in the fourth quarter behind Tim Couch's in 1999. It was the first of this millennium. So Jaden Daniels gets the last laugh. The Commanders celebrate. CBS gets its game that lived up to the hype after all. After a disappointing, putrid look away
yeah.
first three quarters, four quarters. That was not something that at halftime you thought, why did they flex this game?
Well, the last few minutes told you because it was
exactly
that was a spectacular. It was so funny because I have so many friends that were texting me, and a lot of the feeling was the Bears deserve to lose this game. I can't believe the Bears are going to win this game. They deserve to lose it. And then they lose it. And you don't hear from a lot of people after that.
No.
Nobody really believed they were going to lose it.
Well, it's hard to believe that
and
they lost it.
Even if you say they deserve to lose it for various dumb plays they attempted to run and various players they attempted to engage down at the goal line, what was that?
There were breakdowns.
Yeah.
There were breakdowns at every level, coaches, players, and you don't have any excuse for it. You don't have any explanation for it. What we heard from Matt Eberflus post-game was unacceptably bad. You don't sit there understanding the moment, understand the assignment here. You don't. That was not just a one-yard call. That was not something you just dismiss with that answer. You've got to understand the way people are going to interpret this, with the way that you... how bad and dumb you looked as a coaching staff. You lost more than a game on Sunday. You lost the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, yeah. No, you lost ground. No question
about it. And you may not regain that.
Yeah,
that's a hard thing if you're a head coach,
yeah.
if you're a play caller, if you're in professional sports. You lose a game, fine. You can't lose a season, but you did lose the benefit of the doubt.
I apologize if this is blasphemous, but this I thought was hilarious. We have a texter who checks in. Hail Mary, full of disgrace. And I think that's pretty funny. Because, again, the reason you call it a Hail Mary is because it's a prayer. It's a prayer. It's not something you can do. And to have that prayer answered for Washington, you know, my favorite headline ever in The Onion is, God answers child's prayer. No, says God.
Yeah.
That's what the Hail Mary's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a no.
That's what happens 99% of the time.
That's Hail Mary wins!
Hail Mary, hell yes!
Was that the Washington Commanders? We should play that whole thing because, like, you don't know what the result of the play is unless you hear that. They don't tell you a single detail. It's about
it's
five
just
people
emotion.
Screaming.
It's just
It's just a bunch of people screaming.
Here we go.
Four of them at the goal line. They bring three. Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up, fires. Heads towards the end zone. It is
what's he saying? What is he saying?
There's not a word of detail.
No.
Jaden Daniels extended the play over and over and over.
Walk-off touchdown.
Okay, there we go. Finally a description.
Finally.
Look.
But I mean, that was ridiculous.
If you could take a step back, and it's difficult to do that here in the midst of what we're dealing with in Chicago today. Friday night, probably had one of the more dramatic home runs you're going to see from Freddie Freeman at a World Series.
Yep.
And then Sunday, you had the highlight we just heard of the NFL season in terms of drama. Wow.
Chirp, chirp. You had
and in between, we had a 52-yard field goal by Ball State at the buzzer.
Chirp, chirp.
Walk-off win in Muncie. So, yes, it was quite a weekend for dramatics. Gotta love sports.
I mean, unbelievable. But I think it's so funny. Like, you know, you paint a picture with your call. That was just, I mean, I painted a picture. It was just like a Jackson Pollock kind of like a complete just expulsion of paint. There was nothing. You couldn't understand a word they were saying.
You could not.
But you understood what happened.
Yes. And it was probably to Commanders fans.
Oh.
Poetic.
It was musical.
It was musical. It was definitely something they didn't expect to hear and can't get enough of now. And Jaden Daniels wins the battle of the rookie quarterbacks. He was better. He played. I think that was questionable when we left here on Friday. That's and throughout right. The weekend. I'm very surprised that he played. I thought that it was gamesmanship, especially when we saw how Dan Quinn described Friday, keeping him out of view of the media during that period,
right,
and then bringing him back. But it looked like he'll be sore today, but you have to give that young man credit for he's gutsy, he's athletic, and he is special too.
Oh, he's a good player.
Special quarterback.
Yeah, they I don't think they win that game without him.
No.
But it was interesting because, if you feel bad for anyone, and this is a crazy thing to say given the fact that the defense could not defend a Hail Mary at the end of the game, but the Bears' defense, man, hats off. They played their rear ends off. You look at these field goal lengths. These field goals are here we go, 27 yards, 30 yards, 28 yards. Those field goals are less that they are fewer yards than extra points, David.
They bent, but they didn't break for most of the game.
Ridiculous.
You're right. That's a very good observation. It's fair to point that out. It does speak to how the defense comes and rises to the occasion when they need to in the red zone. But My goodness.
Well, that
it feels
been,
very difficult and awkward to compliment the defense.
Well, I
but I know what you're saying. It's fair.
But we don't know. You know, Matt Bowen did a great job. I think we retweeted it. He tweeted out an old play he has of where everybody's supposed to go, where you're supposed to go on a Hail Mary. And there is a player called the Savior who is the guy who is the last line of defense.
Right.
One guy who is supposed to do that. Now, you know, could it be Jaquan Brisker who's out from the game because he's got a concussion? Could it be Kyler Gordon, who is also out from the game? I don't know who it was supposed to be. But one player on that field had to do his job and did not. And I think it's insane. It's madness to me that you had only three guys rushing and you used a spy. T.J. Edwards was playing a spy. In other words, if the quarterback,
rush the quarterback
were to take off,
make him throw,
you would tackle him.
Three guys isn't enough.
What is that?
It's easy to block. You're giving him all day. And yet the most egregious strategic mistake came on the previous down. You had an opportunity there to make it more than a 52-yard throw. Yes. You had they had the ball, and they're sitting there, and they're at the 24-yard line, and they complete a 13-yard pass to McLaurin, and there was no defense in the vicinity or the area code, the DMV.
He gets out of bounds with two seconds left.
And so he makes it a more manageable throw.
Yeah,
that was as bad as any of the decisions that were made yesterday because it allowed – it allowed Jaden Daniels to think that he could throw it into the end zone. You're right, and Matt Bowen did a terrific job, Mully, but any defensive back that's ever, like, backpedaled understands how to defend, then the back, and your deep is the deepest, and you have the savior, whatever you want to call it, different schemes call it different things, but the Bears didn't have that. Maybe it was because Tyreek Stevenson was too busy entertaining the end zone crowd.
There is a video out there, I'm sure it's everywhere, it shows him. He is taunting the Washington crowd. He's like standing inside the 5-yard line. I believe he's on one side of the field. He's pointing and he's yelling. And then he turns around. The play is already ongoing. He turns and there are guys running down the field. And you see the quarterback starting to scramble. And then he runs over and he was the guy that got up and did he try to make a one-handed catch?
His hand tipped it into the air.
Was he trying to catch it with
one hand? No, I think he was just trying to knock it down.
Well, he tipped it right to Noah Brown.
Yes, he did it. Yes.
He did.
And you have to wonder, everything is fair game here. Had he been in different position? Had he been there a split second sooner? Had he done something except for try to taunt the crowd after having a bad day himself because he had a 15-yard penalty and his head was in the clouds all day long? This guy should be benched, a healthy scratch, whatever you want to do, but that can't be tolerated. That was embarrassing if you're the Chicago Bears. Tyreek Stevenson, late to the party. There were fans, if you watched that video, there were Bears fans who you heard from pointing out, hey, they snapped the ball. You might want to turn around and earn your money, DB. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that was insane, and it was funny, not funny, but I was amused. Pat Manley, we were talking about it, and he saw it, and he said that John Hoke was going to handle. Like he basically said that Hoke would go off on this kid like you wouldn't believe.
Well, I hope so.
Tyreek Stevenson did get on social media. He went on Twitter, and he posted this to Chicago and teammates. My apologies for lack of awareness and focus. The game ain't over until zero hits the clock. Can't take anything for granted. Notes taken. Improvement will happen. Hashtag bear down.
Yeah, I'm not interested in apologies. I'm not impressed
What about the bear down?
No, not even that. I'm not impressed or moved by post-game social media appeals for mercy.
Forgiveness?
Forget it. Forget it. You were a clown. Deserve our understanding now. Anybody's understanding now. Act like a professional and go do your job. And then if you want to taunt and you want to celebrate and you want to do all that stuff, fine. In the course of the game, you can't tolerate that.
The only way it could have been worse is if he had like run into a tuba player or a trombonist as he was trying to tap the ball.
That might have been something else. Then that would have been history, a different kind of history.
Why is there a marching band on the field?
Yeah, there were breakdowns at every level. And I think when you come out of the game, yes, he's an easy scapegoat because of the video. Shane Waldron's an easy scapegoat because of the call. But it all falls under the auspices of the head coach. This was a coaching loss, and Matt Eberflus has some credibility problems now that he didn't have before the game started. I really believe this is one that leaves a mark.
This is the honest to God truth, that you come out of the bye week, right? And you're supposed to be taking time to figure out, hey, you know, it's going to be loud in there. We know we can't jump off sides. How quickly did Braxton Jones jump off sides? It was like the second three and out that they had in the game. Maybe they got a first down. At any rate, my point is simply all of the things that you were worried about, that you wanted them to work on, things that are important to do during the bye week, I feel like the coaches – the players didn't come out of the bye week clean because the coaches didn't.
No, they didn't. That was like a team that was relearning how to play, how to win, how to function. They were flat. I don't think that they looked like a team that learned anything.
No.
The self-scouting was non-existent. You didn't learn anything about the Bears yesterday. You didn't know. And it looked like a team that was hurt by the schedule. The lull in the schedule hurt the Bears because they took too many days off. The rust was obvious.
And Patrick Manley made the point. I thought it was a great point. He said of the handoff to Doug Kramer,
okay,
that's a bye week call. That's a coach with too much time on his hands during the bye week. Let's listen.
Olin, that Kramer call just makes me think about what coaches do during the bye week. To me, that was a bye week call. They had a lot of extra time on their hands, and they're like, oh, let's put this one in. We can fool them with, the refrigerator Perry, fullback lineman run. And that to me is just when the coaches have too much time, in my opinion, don't get so cute there. Do what you're good at. Like you said, run behind Darnell Wright and do it that way. But I don't know. That's a bye week call to me. And that was a bad, bad, bad call. But I was hoping we were going to have fun with that after a win. And now we've really got to break that down more. Yeah.
Be that as it may, whether they put it in the bye week or over the summer or the day after they hired Shane Waldron, you don't pull it out in those circumstances. Not when you have a $23 million wide receiver in Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, your number one wide receiver, you're paying all that money to. Cole Kmet, what's he making? I don't know.
$50 million,
but you have DeAndre Swift, who had had a 50-plus yard touchdown run.
What are you going
to do? You're going to hand it to your backup offensive guard?
I got to tell you, it's like you can't score in that game. You're struggling the whole day. You get down to the goal line, and it's...
Hand it to a backup lineman because he'll get that tough yard. It's time to unplug the mini fridge.
And then it didn't matter. It didn't matter because you came back and you took the lead for the first time in 59 and a half minutes.
That's where the special showed up. That's where Caleb Williams,
special.
At one point in time in that fourth quarter, after that drive, Roschon Johnson scores a touchdown. They got the ball back. Caleb Williams, 6-8 in the fourth quarter, after really stinking it up for the first three.
Yeah.
That's when you thought, okay, Caleb Williams refused to let them lose, and you felt like that was going to be the takeaway. He went home. He struggled. Whatever the reason was, there were a lot of them, but he got to the fourth quarter, and he was unfazed, and he focused, and he would not let his team lose.
It was going to be like one of the greatest wins in Bears history. We'd be in here right now talking about,
despite
three offensive linemen going out,
despite all of the bad calls,
that what Ryan Poles said, he's going to do the special. He did the special.
He did.
And then what happened? Then it turns out that Jaden Daniels is really special.
It showed you that Jaden Daniels is really special, but it also showed you that Caleb Williams is ahead of the curve with the other people in this organization. When you look at the key matchups we talked about going into the game and everything about the what-if game that we played all week long, head coach, play caller, quarterback. Well, you know what? Commanders got a better day from their head coach. They got a much better day from their play caller. Quarterback, all right, Jaden Daniels was better, but you don't feel bad about Caleb Williams after yesterday. But the Commanders did what the Bears should have done, and that was walk away with the victory they earned. The Bears, we were that close to having a very different conversation this morning.
Yes.
As it is, I think we talk all morning long, all season long now about what are the Bears doing and how much trust do you have in a regime that can't get out of its own way? This was a bad one for the Bears.
No, that's definitely going to leave a mark. There's no way around it. And, you know, it was interesting because Olin said that Brett Bielema talked to his team after the Oregon game, and mm-hmm. he said to them, we can't let Oregon beat us twice. And he said the same thing needs to be said to the Bears, because now you're going into Arizona. Now you're a 1.5-point dog. You're no longer favored on the road, because guess what? You're 3-17 on the road under this head coach. And they have yet to learn how to win on the road. Whether anyone wants to say that's ridiculous, 2 years ago doesn't matter, last year doesn't matter, I don't care what it is. You've lost 3 road games that you've played this year in hostile environments. And that's got to be something you think about.
So you want to avoid having one loss lead to 2.
And that's
and I understand that is the...
That's the problem.
That's the first reaction that you have coming out of that game, because if you're the Bears, you worry about the hangover effect. You worry about the loss of credibility, not only outside the locker room, but within it.
I agree.
Because you have a lot of guys shaking that's their heads this week and this season. What were they doing on 3rd and goal from the 1? Then what are they doing on that 3rd down before the Hail Mary play, Hail Maryland play?
What the hell was that? That might have been the worst play called. And they called a ton of bad ones. They had the quarterback do a draw run. Are you kidding me? First of all, you could have gotten the guy killed. Secondly, you end up in 4th and 3.
Yeah, 4th and 3, and it was not one that made any sense. So you've got some – and then also you've got to, let's face it, you got Tyrique Stevenson with some explaining to do. Maybe his teammates aren't going to be bothered by that, but I do wonder if he has some explaining to do to them. He let them down. He had his back to the line of scrimmage.
It was unbelievable.
When the ball was snapped on the most important play of the day. Think about that.
It was unbelievable.
Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong on that final play for the
Bears. Did I mention that he did give you a bear down?
I don't care about his apology.
It was a hashtag bear down.
He didn't talk after the game. Then he went onto the team plane and he tweeted out whatever he tweeted out. Save it. Save it. Go to TikTok. Go to wherever you want to find a receptive audience. He's not going to find one here.
All right. It is it's a Bears Monday. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank.